Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Today's scripture reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Natasha. I was planning to come in my sweatpants today because I think I want to prepare to be ready in about 3 years, you know? Right, but I thought, it looks like it might rain, and those sweatpants don't dry too fast. So this is the most I can do with some walking shoes, okay? And so be as sporty as I think I am, okay? So many young people have a new aspiration since Hong Kong Olympic athletes won the gold, the silver, and the bronze. Right? Yay! Shall we say yay? So I want to be an Olympic star, you know. Maybe they think, okay, now I'll get on with it. Maybe 4 years, oh no, 3 years, maybe another 7 years or something like that. I still have time. Stardom is luring, right? Wow, when people, hey, yay! Oh, that moment is just hard to describe and hard to resist. The pursuit of stardom was once despised as vanity, you know, some long, long time ago. Now it is embraced by educators and parents. Dropping out of school in Form 4 is not that bad an idea after all, right? Seeing it in a joking way. Because the school board may award you if you win a medal. So, well, what happened to the DSE students? They, why are we just staying up all night and doing all this, okay? So, but, you know, it's in a way good for young people to have more options to choose from, to consider, and to pursue. Now, believe it or not, Christendom traditionally turns its nose up on seeking fame, right? Do you agree? Traditionally, especially among Asian Chinese churches, I remember growing up in church, doing almost everything in a group. Very few solo this, solo that. And so when I was in America, I was like, wow. You know, and I could see the benefits of it and I could see the downside of it. And sometimes it can be luring as well, because when you're the only one standing there singing and all eyes on you, you know, that can be a tempting thing. And sometimes we may consider it temporal, shallow, and self-serving to want to be a star, to want to be famous. Now, as long as they're famous for a good thing, I don't mind people becoming famous. Do you agree? Okay, if they stay on that track. The surprise is, God does want his children to be stars. And who are his children? Point your finger at your own nose. Me. Okay, say me. Can you point to yourself? Anybody? Who knows that you're a child of God? Anyone here? Point to yourself. Wave your hand. Anybody here? Saying all in Cantonese way. Oh, no response. Oh. No, okay, so everyone. Now, he wants us to be stars on his team. The obedience team. Much better than the Olympics team. Okay, it's the obedience team. I would like us to go back in time to meet two of our own stars in the Jimsazue Baptist Church. For now, I've moved from the title, A Galaxy of Stars in the Works, to our other picture. Just maybe I'll stay there. Can I go back? Okay, let's just stay there for a little bit. Meet these two persons first. We're going back to history. I'm very careful with this question. Does anyone here have parents who attended the church on Hillwood Road? I'm not asking if anybody here attended, but anybody's parents? Yeah, Jeremy, your parents did? Oh, great, okay. So you know that existed. It's a real thing. And do you know that when the Japanese army occupied Hong Kong, they also occupied the building? I did my study. I read the church website. I got this information from the church webpage. And so that's in 1942. When that happened, the minister at the time, Mr. Nkei, and the janitor decided to stay inside the church building. And because of that, the furniture and other things were kept intact. How about almost like sleeping with the enemy, right? At least they are in the next room and you're in this room. They're right there. Wow. What sacrifice, selflessness, and courage. And the text today that we just heard Natasha read for us from Philippians 2, 12 to 18 shows us how we can shine as bodies of light in the sky, just like them. The title is A Galaxy of Stars in the Works, but actually it's more than just stars. It's these heavenly bodies, sun and moon, and I'll get there and explain why. So the text today is Philippians 2, 12 to 18, and the central idea of that text is that God's children had to work out their salvation to shine in a corrupted generation. That's why I wanted to come in my workout outfit, okay? So you kind of imagine that I am. So the theme for today, 2,000 years later, that's what Paul wrote to those people 2,000 years ago, right? So what does it mean for us? So 2,000 years later, let us say, put it this way. Let us sweat for stellar obedience. It means like star-like obedience. Availing God's work and word to fulfill his purpose. Let us sweat, that's action. For stellar obedience, that's the goal. Availing God's work and word, that's the power. To do what? To fulfill his purpose. That's the ultimate purpose, our final destination. And as Philippians 2:11 says, that whatever Christ did was to the glory of God, and we can follow his steps to live for the glory of God. And when we are still on this side of the grave, we are not seeing that glory yet, we can still have a share in the glory by lifting Christ up. We'll look at that later too. So where am I going with this message? Where's the line of direction? Shining as a galaxy of stars is work initiated by God involving believers' participation. It's not for individual fame, but impact as one body on a dying world. And that's why I choose a galaxy of stars. And I guarantee you I'm not going into the scientific part of it because I don't think I can handle that. But for those of you who are interested in galaxy and all that, you can take a look at that later. We're not just like one star shining, but each one of us is a little star. But when we come together, it's like a whole galaxy of stars as the body of Christ. So that's why the title, A Galaxy of Stars in the Works. It's not done yet. We are still being shaped, made, and all that. And the purpose, the main objective this morning is formational and missional. That means both discipleship with an emphasis on mission. Now, in what way is it different from the human pursuit of becoming a star? Who pursue being a star according to what God wants us to. So we start with the first point. We have the resources. We are not just told to do something and then we have to do it on our own, but we have the resources. And we sweat in obedience with our salvation from God who sweats in us. He is very busy doing his work too. And this is from 2:12-13. The scripture here says, therefore, my dear friends, or beloved of me, actually, he said, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. This is where the main point comes from. Now here, as I mentioned, he was in the NIV it says, my dear friends, in Greek it is my beloved. Very intimate. Paul has a very close relationship with the Philippians. And so he is going to tell them to do something. He's going to give them kind of a command or a plea or an exhortation. But he said it, it's like, I'm a friend. I'm your beloved. You're my beloved. We're talking as very close friends. And he reminded them, as you have always obeyed, going back to 2:5-11, and the peak, the climax of that passage is in verse 8, where Jesus died on the cross. And it was out of obedience that he did that. He did that in obedience. So Paul said, therefore, so we know that there is something there. Okay, therefore, we have to go back to look at it. So here, we must first clarify a very important thing. You may be thinking, what? Salvation? Work for salvation? Didn't Paul say, you are saved by grace? Why am I working for? No, not for. It is work what? Work. Can we do that together? Can we do this? You've been sitting here for a little while. Can we do this? What is this? Up. Sideways. Yes, only one person is following me. Come on. One more. Two more. Okay. What's that called? This is called work out. Now you got it. This is called working out. Now, you work out to work for something. Yeah, you work out to work for a better health. We can say that. But we're working out. Must be out of something, right? So make sure the preposition is very important. Paul did not say work for your salvation. He said work out for your salvation. It can also be translated as work according to your salvation. But he first of all directed the attention back to the previous passage when he said therefore. He did not connect that to the death itself. You know why? Not many people will be crucified like Jesus. That's reality. And more people have the challenge of daily living. How to be obedient in their daily lives while living. Okay? And Jesus had to face this, and his obedience culminated in this action of dying on the cross. That's the mind of Christ in action. So Jesus went to the furthest point of dying on the cross, but Paul directed the Philippians' attention to living in obedience. Sometimes some people said it may be easier to die for Jesus than live for Jesus with that person under the same roof. You know, that can't be the case. And I have actually encountered a person who was persecuted in an authoritarian country who said that it's easier to be in jail than to be in America out of a job, no money to pay for rent and other things. You know, daily challenges sometimes can be tougher. Now, so not all would have to die on the cross, but everyone has to make the choice to listen to God and listen under him and obey him. And that's the meaning of the word obey. Listen under. And in very old English, it means the rent. You pay the rent. Something you, that's due. The person who owns the house. If God owns this house, we have to pay him the due. The due is by listening to his, to him, obeying his word in everyday living. Now, so with this being our resource, what's the resource? The salvation, right? With God, the salvation, we are to work it out, to work according to the power, the grace, and whatever good stuff that's in there. And then we have this unlimited resource to put to use for obeying God. So we actually don't have too much of a chance of coming up with a good excuse to say, I can't. No, no, we are not asking whether you can. We're asking whether you will. It's about willingness. It's about the will, not about ability. It also means we have great responsibility to not waste the marvelous gift of salvation. So, on the one hand, through obedience, we hear under, we pay rent, okay? And so, the other thing is, we take responsibility of the gift that we have been given. Now, work out with what? Fear and trembling. Not like going to the gym. In Hong Kong, we say, well, 走gym, we're going to the gym, oh, we have fun. Well, sometimes we have to be careful too. Some people get injured there. But here, the fear and trembling is not about that. It's that we have been given something that's very precious. How did we get our salvation? Brothers and sisters, how did we get to have salvation? Yes, Jesus died on the cross. We said we got a free gift. Hey, not very free. Free on our end, but very expensive, very costly on Jesus' end. So, we cannot leave the gift unopened. We cannot let it go to waste. Imagine you got an inheritance of $1 million. Okay, I know it's not a whole lot. You still cannot just buy a flat. Maybe good for a down payment, at least, but you will not just tuck it away somewhere and then you can't even remember where it is, right? Will you? Will you? Or will you say, okay, what am I going to do with it, right? You want to have good planning for that. So are you going to, let's not talk about inheritance, that's maybe too far away. Are you going to get the anti-epidemic money and then not use it? Anybody? Has anybody got it and used it already? Oh, yeah! We were going to a restaurant and we thought we didn't have to go early because we have been going to restaurants and not there's no line. And the other day we went and I said, oh, why is everybody here? Oh, that's the first day after the money was out. So the restaurants were packed for afternoon tea time. So, you know, when we have it, we want to use it. Do the same with the new life, which is power-packed, wholesome life. Salvation is not just about being saved or being saved. That words carry the meaning of being whole. And also, it usually also means spacious. You have a lot of room, you have a lot of resources, you have a wholesome life right in your bosom. Use it. And we will also treasure it by living a life that is worthy of the gospel. Remember 1:27? That's our previous message or two messages ago. We are to prioritize in one thing. Remember what team we are on? Good for you, Diane. Here on from this side, what team are we on? The O team. The obedience team. So we prioritize in obeying God as the main way of working out the salvation. We are on his obedience team. Okay? So that's one resource. What is that? The big S word? Salvation. The other resource, we look at this in verse 13. God's work. It is God who works in you, Paul said. Hallelujah. God is the one working. We can work out, but God is working where? In. Isn't that cool? God is working in. Now, work in Greek is energeo. Energy, the English word energy, stems from this group of words, Greek words. Okay, we'll look at this one. Whoops. Somehow. Okay, go back there. You can see three words in kind of red. Two words are the same, work and works. And then the third one is act. They're all the same, okay? They're all from the same Greek word. And so this one is about related to our English word energy. And so it's very potent. It's something that gets other things going. And the second part of the Greek, of this Greek verb, is the noun ergon. Have you seen signs in furniture stores that says ergonomic desk, ergonomic chairs? Any ergonomic bed? No. Why? You don't work on no, I go to bed. No ergonomic bed. But chairs and desks. Ergonomic, that's the word. So, ergon is the second part. The first part is the preposition en, which means in. In working. Working within. So, this is what he is doing. God is putting in action, according to lexicon definition. The word means putting into action. God is putting into action the power he has given us. We just need to avail the power, and with it, got the idea? We have to be using it and exercising with it. He is like a coach, but he is not a coach outside. The coach is inside. He is the coach sweating inside us, preparing us, honing us, and shaping us. But guess what? We are the players on the field, on the mat, in the swimming pool. You get the idea? God is not going into the competition in our place. He will go with us. But he's not going in our place. We are the ones going in there. We are the ones that have to make the choices when we face temptations, challenges, okay? Because we are running as God's, what team? What team?
Obedience.
Obedience. Wow, we are making progress. Good. So we are saved by grace. True. We must hold on to this. We are saved by grace, and out of gratitude to God, we obey him. Exactly because we are saved by grace. We are saved by grace to use the grace to work. We are saved by grace. We're born. We're born again. We're born with a new life to serve. So, saved by grace doesn't mean that, okay, from now on I just sit here. So, God is busy transforming us from the inside out to will and to act. That means we have the wisdom and the willpower to make the right choices and the strength to do it. The word act here, as I mentioned, it's the same as the word work. So all those three red words are from that same Greek word. So now you see, you're getting the main idea is, number one, work out. Number two, work in. Number three, work. So it's work, work, and work. Got it now? If you don't remember anything going after leaving here today, please remember work, work, and work. So we are saved by grace through faith, and we sweat by the same grace and through the same faith. Okay? So, let's look at how we proceed from here. Now that we know the resources, we want to know the result. Right? Everybody wants to know win, lose, you know, gold, silver, bronze, or at least number four. So the result is that we shine with contentment and integrity among those without Christ. Whatever you call that generation, that was, I'll explain, that was a term applied to the Israelites in the wilderness several thousand years ago. And Paul applied it to his generation 2,000 years ago. Can that expression, crooked and warped, perverse, corrupted generation be applied to our generation? Sometimes we tend to say, oh, the young people today, oh, they are not like us. They don't do well as we did when we were their age. You know what? Our parents said the same about us. And our grandparents said the same about our parents. But the truth is, that's no difference. Every generation is the same. It's crooked and perverted. That's scripture. Okay? So, let's look at the scripture here. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault. In the midst of, this is the actual Greek word, in the midst of a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars or lights in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. The main idea here is that he only had one instruction here. What's that only one instruction in this part? Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Now, maybe we think that when he said work out your salvation, it's like, number one, do this. Number two, do that. Number three, right? You know, when we follow, exercise instructor, it's like, okay, step, step, left, right, right, many instructions. But Paul is saying one thing. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. So why? Why did he say that? This is, does that remind you of some people, the words grumbling and arguing? If you have been reading the Old Testament, if you have been reading the first five books, the Pentateuch, which group of people, they won the gold medal of grumbling and arguing? Who? Huh? The Israelites. Okay? Now, grumbling is not filing a complaint. Grumbling, why is it grumbling? That means they were talking among themselves. They did not go to the person. And that happens a lot in church. The pastor or the deacons may be the last ones to hear of a complaint when everybody else was... Okay? Or the person, for example, I'm mad with someone. I won't go to that someone. I would go to many other people, except that one person that needs to hear. So the grumbling is something that's not direct communication. So we'll flip it quickly to say, so what is Paul trying to say? He's trying to say, live in contentment and don't be contentious. Got it? Live in contentment, don't be contentious, as we have such a wonderful God who has made us his children, just like the Israelites. We're put in the same place. Grumbling and arguing describes their attitude. Gratitude was not in the dictionary. So there was no joy because of discontent. Is gratitude in your dictionary? Go back and check. Do you find yourself grumbling more or feeling grateful more often? Where would gratitude take us? It would take us to this place called integrity. Believe it or not, a grateful person is more likely to keep his or her integrity intact. A person that's not happy, even if he or she has a lot, is more likely to go the other way. And that's the entitlement mentality. I should have got this. I'm entitled. I deserve this. That gets us in trouble. Remember, we already went over that. So there are several big words here that would weigh us down. Blameless, pure, without fault. It's like, help. I can't handle these. Like, this is such a high standard. Who can really get there? Now, the blameless, Paul also used in 3:6, chapter 3, verse 6, about himself. He said, according to the law, I was blameless. So this is more about external observation of the law And pure is more about inward essence of not having undesirable qualities or motives mixed in. Just like when you buy gold, you want pure gold. If you buy wine, you also want wine that's not mixed with something else. Milk or formula. We know those stories, right? And also, water. Sometimes you just want a cup of water without anything, no additives, okay? The third word, without fault, without blemish, just like an animal is ready to be sacrificed. So those three words give us this picture. It's not about saying you're perfect in every single way. It's not about that. It's about meeting this having these qualities. They sound unattainable to us, true, but by the grace of God, we can get there. The clue is to not grumble or argue. Paul didn't say you have to go through a long list of do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. Just say, don't grumble, don't argue. It's almost like being grateful and having an entitlement-free mindset is key to living in integrity. Especially in a warped and crooked generation, which is also an expression for that generation in Deuteronomy 32:5. Now you can see ethnicity is not a concern, nor is religion. It is about the attitude inside here and actions outside produced by that attitude. And the DNA for stellar obedience is there for those in Christ, Jews and Gentiles alike. Because Paul was writing to the Philippians, he called them saints. He told them that their citizenship is in heaven. So there's no difference. So what's the other thing? What will happen? What's the result? What's the result besides integrity? Okay? When we have integrity, we will shine like these stars or heavenly bodies of light. This word light is used only one other time in the New Testament, and you want to mark it down. It's Revelation 21:11. Referring, if I got a little mixed up, look at 22, okay? Referring to the brilliance of the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ. Oh, wow. It sounds like a wedding rehearsal to me. It's almost like seeing the bride there. It is like we, the church, can be radiant like the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven. I mentioned in my previous message that we have the glory on the side of the grave, the lift of Christ. This is what we have a share in. We don't have to be any big shot to do that. We are radiant when we are, guess what, obedient. Very good, Dan. Remember the "and" at the end. You're radiant when you're obedient. That's the clue. No need to buy all the skincare products, okay? And no need to buy expensive clothes. We are radiant when we are obedient. In the Septuagint, this word "light" is used to translate the two lights in Genesis. And you know those two lights, the sun and the moon, okay? And so this is not the light of a little lamp in a little dish with oil in it, olive oil, or a little candle. No, this is the light the world needs to see to find hope and direction. Isn't our world just suffering in the most horrendous way possible? We have never seen anything like this, right? So we need to be that light. And Daniel 12:3 says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Amen. I add that. Okay. So, and we hold firm to the word of life ourselves so that we can hold it out for others to see. Paul made an emphasis here that he had not labored in vain when that happened. Although I'm kind of new here, I just met you in this past month, but I think I can even assume that I can speak for Dr. Lowe, Dr. Moy, and others before them, and even Dr. George Wilson, Dr. Morgan, who started this English ministry some 62 years ago. That when they see the people of God shine with integrity and obedience. They say, ah, we have not labored, exhausted ourselves in vain. And today, I'm wearing this necklace. I would step out for you to see a little bit. But don't get too close to see. I've been wearing it for many years, so it's a little soiled. I'm wearing it today because it's made for me by a friend. As you heard me say a long time ago. I brought it to the States. I brought it back. I dumped some more expensive jewelry. Not real jewelry. Okay, I kept those. But I dumped jewelry that I'm far more expensive than this one, because in coming back, I have to dump about more than half of whatever I had. And so, I brought this back. Why? Because a friend made it for me. And this friend, her name, some of you might have heard, her name is Alice Lai Chutai. She is legally blind. And she made this for me. Alice is a legally blind amputee. And this is one of the few more recent pictures of hers in the Herald. Forgot the name of that. What did it say there? Herald Monthly. Herald Monthly Canada. Okay? So here's she is speaking. Alice, long story short, because there are many things about her. You have to go read it yourself or find the English version if possible. She speaks English too. She started having problems when she was 3 years old, okay? Somehow her eyes were not clear. I mean, white, kind of milky looking. But she was still living in the mainland. Then she came to Hong Kong at age 5, and that was too late already. So she's legally blind. And yet, just, I think, a year ago or so, she retired from her 34 years of work as a stenographer in the PWH Hospital, in the Chinese University, I should say. It's a long story. She was accepted into a school for the blind, and then when she was in secondary school, her grades were good enough to go to St. Stephen's, and she was the only blind student, sight-impaired student at that time. And throughout the process, God just brought different people to help her. And she came to know the Lord when she was in school, but she did not go to church until one day somebody on the train talking to her and got her thinking about being serious. And she started reading the Bible, going to church, and she was growing. And Alice, how did I meet and know Alice? When I was working as a hospital chaplain, and actually before that, I was getting training in 1986. I was receiving training at that time. She came to our first training for volunteers in the hospital. And she took assignments and used her lunch hour because she was working right there at the hospital. She would go visit patients. And she later on even received training as an EE trainer for the blind, using the Braille, and she became a trainer for them. And then a few years ago, right about the time I came back to Hong Kong, I had lost contact with her, and she was having problem with her feet, and it turned out to be cancerous. And there goes her legs. Now, no eyes, no legs. Many of us would be sitting there crying throughout the day. But she was happy with the prosthesis. She said actually it worked better. Yet she needed some more help. And she continued to visit patients. One day she went to this ward where there was an amputee. And she walked up to this amputee and talked with him. I don't know whether it's him or her. And this is what she shared in the testimony in this article or interview. The amputee told her that he already had a plan, solid plan, for killing himself when he got discharged. But when he saw this face full of joy, that plan was aborted. We may say we have many limitations. We have so much to attend to. She has to attend to her own health. She has gone from one surgery to another. And it's not because she was able to persuade him, just because of the Jesus in her beaming from her. That person dropped the idea of killing himself. Some things Ella shared with me personally recently, I asked for permission to share. She said, when you know your mission, you can endure suffering. She has memorized the book of Philippians some years ago, and she was reciting a few passages to me that day. So here's one person shining for God. I'll just quickly go to the next point to say that the reward is that we got to run in the relay of rejoicing and selfless sacrifice. These sacrifices may be, you know, like what missionaries have to do, but sometimes I want to say this today, that many of you, you are sacrificing day in and day out as parents, as a family member, setting aside your own dreams, your own aspirations, in order to support a family. And sometimes you don't get appreciated, and sometimes you're forced to do so. And I want you to know, if you feel like you're really being abused toward, please seek support, okay? But that's not going to go unnoticed. The Lord has it marked. The Lord has it recorded. He knows. This quick story I want to share is about the Haven of Hope Hospital. You have probably all heard of that. This was what it looked like in the 1950s. It was a painting. And Annie, the missionary, came to Hong Kong. She was in China, and then she came to Hong Kong. And when she went back to her hometown to report on the ministry, two young ladies were so moved that in the next meeting, they brought money to her to say, we want to support this ministry in Hong Kong. And they said, we have saved up money for a piano, but the Lord Spirit moved us to give it to you. And he said, no, you must take it so that we can be obedient. And so she took it. Those two ladies probably don't know, cannot imagine that it has become a hospital like this today. I've trained many nurses, have saved many lives, people who have nowhere else to go, no money, no people to care for them. And God bless them. After these two young ladies got married, the husband of each one of them bought each one of them a piano. So they gave up one, they ended up with two. So the conclusion for today is that we and God together, we can work on this galaxy of stars. Work out with what God has given us and work with Him to shine together as a galaxy of stars. We have the resources, you see the result, and the reward that is when we sacrifice, we rejoice. We rejoice in sacrificing. It's hard to think, but for mothers who have given birth to babies, you know, you suffer and then you rejoice, right? So that's the same thing, more or less. So shine with wholesome obedience through contentment, integrity, and selfless sacrifice. And rejoice.